held rotavator for cultivating large tracts of ground or big gardens. And I believe he's saying to us, I'm turning the soil of hearts, upending wrong concepts, removing the weeds of self-serving, selfishness, exclusiveness, and the attitudes that strangle the strong growth of a planting. I'm aerating hearts and bringing truth so that the new seeds will grow robustly and not be stifled by aridity and darkness. Open yourselves up to my plumb line and see if there be any waywardness within, that would stifle your own growth and that of those that flood in when my presence manifests. I have planted you and plan to bring in new cultivars to plant between you in the newly cultivated furrows which I'm busy turning now with the rotavator of the Spirit. They are carefully chosen to complement this body and to stimulate growth and expansiveness. Be open to the working of my Spirit. Put aside hard-heartedness and unbelief and lay yourselves on my wheel of shaping.
Amen. The Lord is cultivating us. I want you to stay in that act of worship. I feel also that there is a season of much before us. But I feel it's a season of faith, of great faith. And Peter got out of the boat and he began to walk in the water towards Jesus. But as he stepped out in his faith and he put his feet on the water, he began to walk on the Lord's word. Jesus commanded him. And upon that command, upon the Lord's word, Peter got out of the boat and began to walk upon that word. And I feel in this season of much, the Lord is wanting to stretch us, each and every one of us here, to exercise our faith and to walk out on the water, the promise that He has given for each and every one of us, be it in business, be it in ministering to others around us, be it in ministry to our families. Walk out on the water in faith. Rest in the Lord and let Him carry you into the promise, into the fullness, and into the much that He has for you in this time. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Could I ask the Sianis to come up?
Are all the family going to come up? Just so we can meet them as well. We've got the whole Shiani family. They're very special to us. They've come a long way. And they've blessed us with lovely holidays for 16 of my family and their beautiful thing. Oh, he's coming now. Okay, so about 3.5 years ago, something happened to Colleen and... you're going to share, so don't worry. And we prayed much over that time because it was a very traumatic time. And recently we've had an incredible testimony. Colleen had us all on a group praying and we stood on these, we believed, like Sally said, we stood on these promises and we saw in the natural this was not going to look good. But we just knew that Jesus was really in control. So we just want to welcome this wonderful family. Who else is there? Janie, are you not going to come and just show your faces? We just want to see you all. It's wonderful Italian family, hey? Good to have you. Where's Giovanni? Giovanni, we're missing some other family. Carl's not coming up. But anyway, can I just pray over you before we start? Father God, I just thank you for this amazing family. I thank you for Granny Sally, who has always just stood in the gap for her family, having many children to provide for and just seeing your hand. And from an early age, they knew how to trust and rely on you. And Colleen and Joan and how they've actually just warfared for their family and prayed for them so much. And we just thank you that we've seen an incredible testimony that we can just witness and give you all glory. So we thank you for the words that come, that you would speak to us through this. In Jesus' name, amen. And the youth, you're just going to stay in for the testimony time, and then you'll be able to go.
Thank you. Oh, my nerves. Hi, everyone. My name is Colleen. And as Nikki said, wow, the church really prayed. They stood in the gap, the intercessory prayer, Sally, Ursula, the whole lot of you, Lynette, my family, my friends, Leanne, wow, everybody just stood in the gap for us. So I want to tell you about what happened to us about 3.5 years ago. It happened on a Saturday, the 25th of July, but before this happened, we had a chain of events that actually led up to all this happening. Sorry. I just want to read scripture. Revelation 12 and 11 says, and they overcame him, Satan, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. So every time we testify what God has done for us, we overcome the enemy. And so, and also Job 5 and 19 says, it says, he shall deliver you in 6 troubles. Yes, in 7, no evil shall touch you. Come up here, my Giovanni. About 2 months before the incident, I was in the kitchen with Bella, and my son Giovanni, he comes in and he says to me, you know what, Mom, I dreamt last night that we were all held up by the front door. So I said to him, really, Giovanni? And he said, yes. I said, well, what else did you see? He said, that's all he saw. And then at that time, I had a whole lot of scripture all over the kitchen wall because my grandson Jaden was busy doing his matric, and I just had scripture plastered everywhere. And one of them was, no weapon that is formed against us will prosper. And if God is for us, who can be against us? And we just prayed and we pleaded the blood of Jesus over us, over our home and all of us. And that was it. And then I forgot about the dream completely and it was wiped out of my head. Maybe just a good thing. But then it was now in June and school holidays, so myself and my mom and my sister Joni and her daughter Leanne and the kids, we all decided to go to the coast for the week. So Leanne arrives at the house early in the morning. She goes in her bus, I'm in my car, and she says, come on, Tilleen, let's pray, and we anoint everything. We anoint the cars, the kids, my honey, my little dog, the tires, everything, and that's how we were brought up, my mother. We were always anointing everything, photos, shoes, pillows, you name it. So we grew up on faith. My mother really pushed that into us. We had a wonderful holiday, and it went so quickly. But when I got back from the holiday, my car was so filthy and full of beach sand. I said, no, I must take it to the car wash, and it had a full-out car wash. It came back looking brand new. And then 2 weeks on the day that we had this incident, I said to Joni, let's go visit your daughter Leanne. I'll take my grandkids, that's Nino's boys, little Giovanni, he was 11 at the time, and Alessia was 8, and we'll go have a play day with Leanne and Dalwin's children. We got there, Dalwin said, yes, you can all ride in the estate, and he put on little headgear on for them for the bicycles. But we weren't even into our visitor half an hour, and in shame, Dalwin came running in with little Alessia in his arms, carrying him. And he fell over the bicycle, and the whole bicycle handlebar went into his groin, and there was such a huge, deep gash. And shame, and Dalwin just held him, and the little tears were just running down his face. Anyway, Leanne said, you know what, Netcare Hospital is just down the road. Let's quickly take him. So we get in the car, and we're praying, and we're just pleading the blood of Jesus over him. I then had to phone my son and say, oh, Nino, sorry, your boy had an accident, you know. And he said, don't worry, Mommy, I'm coming. I'll send you copies of the medical aid. He took a photo of the card and sent it to me. And so when we got to the hospital, the resident doctor said, you know what, this is really bad. It's not just a stitch-up-and-go wound. He has to be operated on. So they waited for the pediatrician to arrive, and she arrived and said, no, you know, it's so deep. And when they operated, she told Nino later that it just missed that main artery in the leg. I don't know what it's called.
The femoral artery.
Yes, and that is really fatal. It could have been fatal, wow. And we were in such awe. We just stood and we prayed together and we held hands and we just said, God, keep your hand on Alessio. And we prayed afterwards. We said, Lord, we're so grateful. Thank you for looking after him. So I said to Leanne, okay, I will go home and get clean clothes for Alessia because it was covered with blood. So she took me back to her house. So I said, don't come with me. You can stay here with Joni, was there, and enjoy the rest of the day with the other kids. I'll go so long. So as I want to get in my car, Leanne says to me, there's a cross on your car. So I said, there's a cross on my car? Yes. Can you believe it? On the morning, when I left that morning, that cross was not on my car. When I had to go back to the hospital, that cross was on my car. And I said, Leanne, I washed my car. It was so clean. There was nothing this morning. And she just said, Auntie Lean, that's a sign. That's a sign from God, you know. We're covered by the blood of Jesus. And anyway, we went off to the hospital. That was the first incident. We picked up Alessia. We came back to Darwin's house. It was now late, about 5 o'clock. And he said, you know what? I'm going to make you guys all burgers. Don't go. Just stay, you know, just have a bit of supper. And then off we went. We then went. Nina had Bella in the car with him and his elder son, a little Alessia, in the car with him. And in my car, it was me, Joni, and my grandson, Giovanni. And as you know, men drive faster than women. So Nina got home before me. Nina got home before me. And he went inside. He took little Alessia up to my mom. She was sitting in my bedroom. Closed the door to the house. And then Joni and I arrived at the house. Got to the driveway, opened the garage door. I said, okay, to my little grandson, you go inside the house. Joni, you can get out now. You know, because she wanted to go home. So she said, okay, and she got in her car. And you know, we wada, 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 wada. So I said, wait, your bag's in the back of my car. So as I went to my boot to get her stuff out the boot, oh, my heart. There were three black males crouching down at the bottom of the garage. And he ran towards me, and as he ran towards me, I just looked at him. I didn't know what to say. And then it's as if God said, push that scream button that I put inside you, woman. Just scream. And I screamed, Joni, Joni, they got guns, they got guns, they got guns. Then the second one ran, and he grabbed Joni out the car. And as he grabbed Joni out the car, she jumped out the car, and she screamed, oh, Jesus, help us, Jesus, help us. And as she said that, both of us started speaking in tongues. Wow, we just, and I thought, now I think of it, I said, yes, you know, Lord, that's what you said. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Holy Spirit comes in like a flood also, and he just raises up a standard for us against the enemy. Anyway, they took us, he said to me, he looked at me, he said, now you keep quiet. He said, if you don't stop screaming, I will shoot you. So I kept quiet. He opened the door to the house. And as he opened the door to the house, the third one came running into the house. And I saw my son, Nina, running up towards us with his gun. And he said, Mommy, move, move. And the third one ran past us. And I said, God, please don't let him shoot my son. Please, God, don't let him shoot my son. And then miraculously, I don't know, God just separated Joni and I from him, and we ran into the house. And then, because the house is open plan, I ran into the kitchen, and then I just heard gunshots, and we didn't know what happened. Anyway, the police arrived, and the two assailants were laying on the garage floor. Unfortunately, shame, the one passed away, and then we heard later on the other one, you know, he was in a wheelchair. But anyway, they came and they took our statements from us. It was very traumatic. And then they came again the next day. And then about 3 months later, they phoned Nina and said, you know what, Nina, but before that, I want to tell you, even before the cops came, we just stood in the house again and we just prayed. We said, God, we just commit this trauma to you, this incident. We prayed especially for Nina, God, just give him a double portion of your strength and just help us through this. Anyway, 3 months later, they said to Nina, no, you can come and fetch your weapon. And we thought that was it. We thought, oh, yay, thank you, Lord, all's over. And because we didn't know how the legal procedure worked, 3 years later, in January this year, the Edenvale detective called me and he said, you know what? There were five of us. It was Nina, me, Joni, Bella, and Dylan. We were all being subpoenaed to court. So anyway, we went and collected the subpoenas, and then Bella phoned and said, can we please have our statements? And he said, yes, you can have your statements. And then he emailed it to me. And I printed them at work, and as I printed them, I just held them in my hand, and then God just reminded me, I said, Lord, I'm so traumatized over this. And then the Holy Spirit reminded me. He said, do you remember when the king of Assyria, Sennacherib, came against King Hezekiah of Judah to destroy them? And he sent him a letter. And Hezekiah just went with his letters before God, and he laid it in the temple. And he said, God, just look at this. He's saying you can't defend us. And that's what I did. I said, God, we're going to lay this before you. It was really tough. And then I decided, no, you know what? When the going gets tough, the tough get praying. We're going to pray. And then I called Nikki and I said, Nikki, please, you know, if you can just intercede for us. I created a prayer group. And Nikki wonderfully got the whole intercessory prayer group for prayers. My family, my friends, everybody was praying for us. So in any case, they all came to our house on the Sunday, and I prepared scripture. I thought, you know what, God, this is a spiritual warfare, and this needs the word of God. We need to be prepared for this. We're not going to do this in our own strength. We need you, Lord. And I sent a message out, can we all fast and pray? And the family prayed and fasted. They came to my house on Sunday. I prepared a whole lot of scripture, and all we sang songs, we praised God, and all we did was read scripture. We said, no, we're going to fight this with the word of God. We are not going to use our own words. I just want to read you one or two scriptures that I printed. Sorry. Okay, Psalm 100, 4 and 5 says, it says, we will enter his gates with thanksgiving and in his courts with praise, and we will give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is good and his love endures forever. And then Hebrews 4 and 16 says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need, because Jesus is our compassionate high priest, he's our advocate. And you know what? People were telling us, oh, you need lawyers, oh, you need somebody to fight for you, it's going to cost you money. And I said, no, we have an advocate with the Father. We have someone that speaks on our behalf. And the other scripture, so we just read this, was a whole lot of scripture, but I won't read it all to you. We'll be here forever. And Joshua 1 and 9 says, it says, have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And then Isaiah 44 and 25, it says, that frustrates the tokens of liars and maketh diviners mad, that turneth wise men backward and maketh their knowledge foolish. Then we read the whole of Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? I won't read it all, but we read it all. And then we said, no, now we have to prepare. We've said the word of God. We now need an armor. And we prayed. We prayed Ephesians 6, 11 and 18. We prayed that armor of God over us. Each and every single one of us. We anointed us all in the group, we prayed over us, and then each one we prayed. We said, now the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the girdle of truth, the shoes of the gospel. The Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he shall not stumble. And we prayed that, and then, but especially for Nina, when we came to Nina, Shami, I said, Lord, he needs a double armor. He needs a double anointing. Please, Lord, especially for my son, Nino, because if we have to go to trial for him, it's going to be the worst. And then I said to them, I said, you know what? We're now dressed with this armor of God from head to toe. We don't need an armor for the back, because you know why? God always causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus. And the reason why we don't have an armor for our back is because the devil will flee from you and you will see his back, but he will never see your back because he will be running from you. So on the morning of the trial, we all met at the Germiston Court. We held hands again, and we committed everything to God. And then there were a few cases before ours, but they all got postponed, and we were all thinking, oh, gosh, why is this going to happen to us too? Anyway, the judge called up our case, and he called the accused. Well, he couldn't stand. He was in a wheelchair. He called him up to the front. And then the judge asked him, how do you plead? And we couldn't really hear him because they speak so soft in court. Why, I don't know. And anyway, she then said to him, she said, well, I want this finished today. And then she said, okay, the witnesses. And she said, well, Joni Foss, please come to the stand. And I said, oh, Lord, Joni. And I said, Joni, I thought, oh, Joni, if you cry, please don't cry. Because if you cry, I'm going to cry. Please don't cry. Anyway, and then she said, okay, well, all five of us come to the front. So we stood there. And what happened next was, wow, it really was amazing. She looked at us and she said just, you are all dismissed from this case. You will no longer be required to come to court. You are all free to go. We never said one word. The advocate, Jesus, spoke for us. God spoke for us. And we were in such awe. Anyway, shame. And then my beautiful Nino, he said, Your Honor, may I please say something? And first she said no, and then she looked at him and said, okay, what do you want to say? And he looked at her and said, we want to say to the accused, we forgive you. And I said, yes, we forgive you. And she said, okay, you're all free to go. And as we walked out the court, we all just held hands again and we said, God, we are in such awe of you that you went before us. You made all the crooked places straight, Lord. That you protected us, your hand was upon us, Lord. You said we will call to you and you will answer us and you will deliver us, Lord. Wow, we couldn't say thank you enough. Like within a half an hour, it was finished. We never said a word. How awesome is that? So on behalf of everybody that prayed, from the bottom of my heart, for me and my family that prayed, the church, Nikki, Sally, Ursula, and Lynette, the whole lot of you that prayed, thank you so much. God bless you all. And this is my favorite prayer that for all of you, and I'm forever saying it to my kids and sending it to them on WhatsApp. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and be gracious to you all and bless you. Thank you.
Amen.
Unlike my mom, I won't speak so long. So, you know, God, he's amazing, and we can't truly understand how amazing he is because he's beyond our understanding. And, you know, he speaks to us in so many different ways. And, you know, a lot of people that want to hear God speak to them, you know, they think it's this audible voice, but it's a voice that's inside your heart, you know. And that morning, it was quite weird because when I woke up, the Holy Spirit said to me, go check on your firearm. And I thought, that's weird. Why would a voice say that to me? And I knew, okay, it must be God. So I checked on it and he said, remember where it is. And I said, well, okay. And anyway, the rest of the day we went out and we did everything. And when the attack happened, the moment, and let me tell you, my mother can scream, but Joan can scream even louder. And straight away that the Holy Spirit said to me, it said, and I'll never forget, it said, you're under attack. And I knew straight away what I had to do. I had no fear. There was no fear in my heart. I wasn't scared. I knew that I had to go downstairs and I had to come protect my family because that day the devil tried to destroy my son. He wanted to destroy our whole family. And I just want to encourage you all to just remember that exactly that the word of God is true. It lives forever. It never changes. And exactly what he said, that no weapon formed against us, and us is all of us. That's not just our family. We're all one family in the body of Christ. So if there's someone out there, you know, just lean on that word of God and trust God. And I promise you, it will be the best decision you ever make for your life because God will never fail you and he'll never forsake you. Thank you.
Thank you. I just want to say to my boys, I am so proud of you. You have made your mother's heart glad.
Let's extend our hands towards them and just give thanks to God. Father, we do not know the course of our lives and what will be before us, but Lord, you are ever there before us, protecting us and guiding us. And we just want to say thank you for this testimony of Christ in their lives, as you have undertaken for this family, not only to protect, but Lord, to bring the outworking of your salvation. And Lord, as we have learned today, that we can trust in you, and we can trust in your Holy Spirit for your leading and guiding. And may that be a lesson for all of us, Lord, to walk with you, to trust in your word, and to see how you are our Savior and you are our Deliverer. And we thank you for this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for giving God the glory. Eh? Bless you guys. Thank you. Thank you, worship team. Thank you, folk. That was, we need to have testimonies to actually give God all the glory. And that is incredible. And, you know, I just want to commend that family that they did it the right way and they trusted God for his word, with his word. Did you hear how they quoted scripture and they stood on the word of God? And we're not like the world. The world trusts in the systems of the world and in money. But they trusted the Lord and His Word, and the Lord came through for them. Let's pray, and before we go into God's Word, and God, allow God to encourage us. Father, we thank You that we all need to have an understanding of Your Word, and we need to stand on Your Word. And I ask today, Lord, as we preach Your Word, that Your Word will bring renewal to our minds, and that, Lord, we will embed it in our hearts, and, Lord, our lives will be changed through an understanding of Your ways and Your truth. So, Lord, will You undertake today, may there be just be a freshness that will come upon us, an understanding, Lord, that not only can we cope in life, but to be overcomers in anything and everything that would come across our path. So bless us today in our Father, in Jesus' name. Quickly, say hello to the person on the left and the right. If you haven't said good morning to one another. Just quickly, I said quickly. That's dangerous, I know. Okay, your time's up. Your time's up. We're continuing through the journey of Philippians chapter 4. And we've done two lessons in respect to that. Today's theme is do not be anxious for anything. And I just want to really encourage you today is that, you know, when our Lord came and became sin for us and became and took our death on the cross for the punishment of sin, the Lord came to bring us abundant life. And as much as we go through trials and tribulations like this wonderful family has been through, God wants us to be victorious and to be overcomers. No matter what the world will try and throw at us, and whatever the devil will try and put on his flaming darts at us, God wants us to have this abundant life that He has for us. So if I would like you to turn to Philippians chapter 4, and we're going to read from verse 6 to 8. Philippians chapter 4, if you want to get your Bibles, please. This is an area I think is pertinent to every single one of us. We will all face this issue that Paul talks to the Philippian church about. I have preached about it before, but I just really believe God wants to re-emphasize it and bring us to a fresh understanding of His ways. Verse 6, it says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." Now, Paul, when we get to the books that Paul writes, we call them the epistles, you'll see that as Paul's we learnt on Wednesday night, Paul, when he starts the books and he writes, he brings truth to us and he brings us to an understanding of who we are in Christ, and understanding the wonderful victory that we have and what was accomplished through the cross. But then he comes and brings an application of how do we live in Christ and to come to maturity in Christ. And this portion of Scripture is an application of how do we live in Christ. And I want to just say is that we all got to come to maturity in Christ. When you are born again, you are a new creation. You come to a place that you are in Christ. But to work out Christ, you've got to come to understanding of His Word and His ways. And as this wonderful family is still in His Word, you've got to apply God's Word into every and any situation that you find yourself. And then you start to live this victorious life. You see, we've got to be very careful that if we do it outside Christ, it becomes performance and it becomes a duty and a works program. And that can become religious. And God doesn't want us to be in that position. He wants us to be living in Christ and Christ living in you and doing these things. So God's in the Scripture that we're going to do today. God wants to teach us His ways. He brings us truth, and out of the truth, He shows us His ways. And when we apply His ways to our lives, we experience this life. And we understand God's life is not only eternal, but abundant. And I'm just trusting that today that God will just open up our minds that we would understand this truth. So my first point, there's three points I want to cover today, is freedom from anxiety, handling anxiety, and the peace of God. So firstly, the freedom from anxiety. You see, this is common to man. Every one of us will face anxiety in our lives, but yet God calls us not to live in anxiety. He wants us to live in a place where we can find freedom and peace in Him. And as we see here in the Scripture, that anxiety is a problem of the heart and the mind. And, you know, God has created us to be incredible beings. We're made of three parts, spirit, soul, and body. But the impact of anxiety and worry impacts our hearts, our spirit beings inside of us, and our souls, which includes our minds. And that's where we all have to be cognitive and work out and understand what is anxiety, how does it come, and what has it got to do in our lives. And we, in Christ, have been given authority to deal with anxiety. You're not just someone that's going to be subject to anxiety and let it just overcome you and you become a worthless individual in life. God wants you to rise up and overcome these enemies of worry and anxiety that would come across you. You know, none of us are immune to this. There are tensions in every one of our lives when it comes to living life and when it comes to trusting God for His provision in every area. We all have the ability to be over anxious and to allow this thing to overcome our lives. Now, today, as we live in this modern world, life seems to be more complicated than it was before. And more people are battling in this area of anxiety. I think it's one of the modern day diseases that is not being counted and the tools are not being given. And I thank God for doctors. And doctors have given us an incredible ability to overcome this, because, you know, these things of the spirit and the soul impact our bodies. And because they say stress comes and destroys bodies, and we see that. And we see many, many people in society today, and it's not a negative, but it has got to a place where we haven't dealt with the root of this thing, and it's impacting bodies, and it's coming out in different areas of sicknesses in our lives. Psychosomatic, they call it. Psychosomatic diseases. And here I want to just say this: the scripture tells us, how do we overcome in this area? And as we live in Christ, I really believe God wants to teach us this. In 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3 to 5, Paul's talking to the Corinthians and he's telling them about this aspect of our minds. How do we overcome? So he says in verse 3 here, "For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ." Paul tells us here is the way we think and the wrong ways that we think can build up strongholds in our minds. And those strongholds, and so often when we look at people's lives, we see sometimes they're not events, they become patterns. And the patterns, they continue to perpetuate that and land up in the same pattern and go around the same cycle right through their lives. That's a stronghold in their life because of wrong thinking or even the devil trying to do. And as Rodney spoke last week, is that the thoughts of the enemy comes into our minds and we have to take authority over those things. So the Bible says here in Corinthians that we need to demolish these arguments that come against us, these thought systems that come into our minds and bring us not to a place of faith, but a place of unbelief. And as I shared with the elders this morning, Jesus castigated his disciples the most about their level of faith. Why? Because they were walking in unbelief. And their thinking was wrong. Their thinking was wrong, and they weren't understanding what was actually happening in their lives. And I believe that in Christ, we've got the tools now. We are meant to demolish strongholds and demolish arguments and pretensions, things that are seemingly right but are not right. And we've got to come against these things. And you have that authority in Christ, in the name of Jesus, to change the way you think and to come against these thought processes that are in your life and destroy them. You know, a lot of people say, "I don't know why I am in this situation. I just believe these things." And I want to just say, you need to examine your heart and you need to ask the Holy Spirit to actually help you, because sometimes you might not understand it. What are strongholds? What are arguments and pretensions that are taking place in your life, and to bring them to naught? Bring them to naught. Because you need to become an overcomer. You know, we can trust for you, but you need to identify it. I think identification is one of the key aspects where you need to trust the Holy Spirit to guide you. You know, in Job chapter 3, verse 25, it says, "What I feared has come upon me. What I dreaded has happened to me." And I want to just say to you, we all in that same place. There are things that are going through our lives, and you might be fearing that, I don't know what it is. It can be funny things, that you're not going to be provided in your old age. I'm telling you, that fear starts to drive in you, and it actually becomes unbelief. And unbelief is actually a negative faith, becomes a negative reality. And you've got to break that cycle. You've got to live by the faith of Christ, and you've got to overcome this. And we're going to go into some of the tools that Paul actually gives us. How do we overcome this anxiety that is prevalent to every one of us? So secondly, the second point is handling anxiety. The scripture says very carefully, do not be anxious about anything or for anything. You need to make a choice when anxiety comes against you or worry and fear comes against you. You need to refuse. I refuse it in the name of Jesus. And so often what causes this is the way we speak. We speak about, can I just say, the economy that we're in at the moment is under pressure. There are things happening and people are all seemingly battling. But the way we speak and say, no, I can't do this, I can't do that. I want to just say is there's a reality that we need to work with those things. But we cannot be confessing the negative in that, because the thing that you fear will become a reality, because you won't live in what the fullness that God has got for you. You know, we cannot trust in money. We've got to trust in God. Money is a tool in God's hand that He gives to us to use for His glory. And we are accountable as stewards of that. And I want to just encourage us, how do we handle this thing that we're not anxious thing? And God gives us some handles here. The scripture says we handle anxiety by prayer. And it's a certain type of prayer, or types or the patterns that the scripture actually gives. And my understanding of this is that this is a prayer of commitment. And this, what this portion of scripture teaches us, how do we commit the situation that is causing the anxiety to overcome the situation? But I want to just say prayer is a general word, and there are many types of praying. And, you know, this could be a topic by itself, just to actually be talking about prayer. You know, when we went to the military, I was part of the infantry initially and ended up in the intelligence corps, but we were all issued with weapons, and we all at that time had to carry the R1, and it had to become our baby, and we had to learn how to operate this thing. We needed to learn how to put in our shoulders and shoot it, and we need to know how to aim and get on target. But the big thing, you know, you needed how to assemble and disassemble this thing. You need to know it backwards. You had to put blindfolds on you, and they had to actually, you had to do this thing blindfolded and see how it was actually put together. I remember standing in the platoon, and we used to have a weapon inspection, and then you hold your weapon up there, and the corporal will come, and he would look down there, and he says, "Axinity Bedford he saw." And you know what a Bedford is? It's a speck of dust in there. You had to keep it clean, because that's how you had to operate it. You needed to know your weapon backwards. Because if you, when something happened, you needed to rise up and be able to use this weapon instantaneously. And I want to just say, when it comes to the kingdom of God and walking in Christ, you need to know prayer. And I've just seen in the life of the church and the tensions and the pressures that we actually have in life, we don't know how to pray anymore. We know how to ask, but we don't know our weapons. And I want to just say there are many types of prayers that we need to pray, and we need to be applying the right type of prayer to the different situations that we find in ourselves. Yes, this one's a prayer of commitment. We need to be praying in the name of Jesus. There are times when you need to be praying the prayer of agreement, where you need to gather other believers and you need to stand together and you need to agree in prayer and pray. It's powerful to pray in agreement. There's times to bind and loose in prayer. There are times to pray in tongues. Church, we need to be praying in tongues. We don't pray enough in tongues, because it says the Spirit of God actually prays through us, because we don't know how to pray. God starts to pray through us. And so often we fall to our human ability to actually pray. And I want to encourage you, take time to pray in tongues. I'm just reading this book, Chasing the Dragon by Jackie Pullinger, and that was the secret to the work that took place amongst the drug lords and the retrobates and the broken people in Hong Kong at that time. It was the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but actually an outworking of this gift that God has actually given us to pray, is to pray in tongues. Don't negate that. Don't push it down. God's given you this incredible ability of heaven to actually pray through you, that you can actually pray the perfect will of God. Not always understanding, but we're not meant to always understand. We're meant to pray in tongues. Don't forget to pray in tongues. Even want to say, don't forget to interpret your tongue. You need to put yourself under a bit of pressure to say, Lord, teach me to interpret what I'm actually praying. And you'll be surprised that God will actually use you in that area. Then there's times to pray to intercede. Some things take longer. It's not just believing all the time. You actually got to break through. And some of you are facing issues that, yes, you have believed God, but sometimes you need to pray and you need to push and push the boundaries back. There's a warfare that is actually taking place, and you've got to push, and you've got to push through prayer and intercession and stand in the gap. And it might not just be for you, it might be for others. And sometimes those things don't come instantaneously. It takes a period of time, and it actually might even take years to come through, but we need to intercede. And then there's the prayer of faith. We can't just negate, say we don't need faith. We believe. Jesus taught us to pray, to believe and to receive. We need to pray that and do that. And then there's the prayer of healing. Then we need to pray for the releasing of the anointing to do that. And then there's united prayer. I think the church has lost that. I'm not saying about us as a people. The church has forgotten to be united in prayer. We gather together here on a Wednesday night, and I tell you, it's not a value in the church. They say, go and pray. And then they go pray individually and do those things. But we've forgotten to pray in united prayer. I am guilty also. We need to be praying in our families. I'm guilty. We get busy. We do things and we don't seem to do that. But I'm just telling you, we must call the family together. I loved what they said. They called the family together and they prayed and they trusted God. And then there's the prayer of commitment that we're going to be discussing now. The prayer of worship, the praising and worshiping of God. Oh, so important. There are so many other things, and maybe we need to take time to see what Jesus said about prayer, what Paul said about prayer, and how to pray the will of God into situations, because very, very important. So in this mix of prayer that Paul gives us in this portion of Scripture, he comes and he says prayer and petition, which is supplication. Supplication is coming to a place where you're understanding that you are a junior and you come into someone that's more powerful than you, and you come in with humility in your heart and you bring in your requests. So it's that place of humility, coming before God, believing that you bring in your petition and knowing that your petition is going to be answered. And then it says with thanksgiving. And I suppose that's quite easy to understand, but it's not so easy to put into practice. See, the mix of prayer that Paul is actually telling us in this commitment prayer is when you come with petition, come with thanksgiving. Now, I don't think he's necessarily got it always in the right order. I would want to say is that we need to start with thanksgiving. Because you know what? I've seen the weapons that when we start to praise God and we put Him on the throne first, we put our hearts in alignment with Him, and all of a sudden something happens. God inhabits the praises of His people. Something starts to happen, and the situation that we find ourselves in doesn't become so big, it becomes less, and we start to see God first. Then I really believe we've got our hearts in the right place, got our minds in the right place, then we can start to bring our requests before God. So when we bring our requests, the Bible says very clearly that we bring our requests to our Father who loves us in Christ Jesus by the Holy Spirit. And I really do believe when we bring our requests before God, God doesn't want us to be foolish. He doesn't want us to be stupid. He doesn't want us just to nebulously just bring any request before Him. I really do believe that we've got to think before we ask God. And it's got to be real from our hearts. I don't know if you know Albert Einstein, this aspect, it wasn't about the aspect of prayer, but he said in his discovery of finding and his research, he said it's not to find the answer, but to ask the right question. And he took time and he pondered and meditated before he put the right question out. And he says, when I get the right question, I get the right answer. And I want to just say, sometimes when we're facing things, We just shut up, I've prayed, nebulous prayers, and we throw things into the heavens to our Father. But I'm telling you now, if we would just take time to work with God, the Holy Spirit, to find out what the Father's will is in the situation that we're in, And to pray a prayer with understanding, hearing God the Holy Spirit, you can experience more answered prayers than you've ever experienced before. Because sometimes you're just throwing things out and God just says, I can't answer that. It's a no. It's a no. But if you come, because God answers every prayer, it's yes and no. But if you come with the right request in that thing, you'll be absolutely surprised. Sometimes we're looking for the answer, but God actually wants to deal with your heart. So we've got to be praying the right thing. So I want to say to you, ask God for wisdom before you actually ask, that you can pray the right request, and then you'll start to see God come through for you in wonderful ways. See, this loving relationship that we have with God, He wants to answer our prayers, but He wants us to be wise. We need to be wise in what we do. So I want to just say to you here, you need to cultivate some understanding in your request that you bring before God. When you cultivate an understanding to work together with the Holy Spirit, you'll be absolutely surprised how God will actually work through you. God is for you. He's not against you. He wants all these things to be worked out in you. But you see, again, I get back to the beginning point. He wants to bring truth to you, that you will do it His way, and that you would find life. He doesn't want to do it your way. He's God, He's sovereign, He's almighty, but He wants to do things His way. Even though things that come across our path that don't seem of Him, He still wants to do it His way. He doesn't change His ways. He's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and we've got to find the ways of God going into this. I want to get just back to this whole aspect of praise and worship. Is, as I said, we come and we know the weapons of our warfare, that we clear our hearts before the Lord. I want to just say is also this aspect of giving praise and thanks to God first is part of heaven's protocol. If you had to go and meet the Queen of England, you don't just have an audience with her automatically. You have to request to get into her presence. And when you get into her presence, you don't just speak when you want to speak. You've got to be asked, now it's your time to speak. You don't just go willy-nilly and think, well, I'm just going to run around and do these things. There's a protocol when meeting with royalty, and there's a protocol when you meet with God. And I want to say the protocol is to worship Him first and to give thanks in those circumstances. It's for benefit for you, but it's also His protocol. Because when you do, you know what you're doing? You're recognizing you're coming to God Almighty. You're not speaking to a man. You're not speaking to the wall. You're not speaking to the ceiling. You're speaking to God Almighty, who created the heavens and earth. And it brings your relationship not into this laissez-faire, but it brings you to a place of understanding this is the sovereign, almighty God. Even though He's our Father, it brings you to a place of understanding He is holy and He demands our respect. God loves us, but we need to be respectful and reverent when it comes to Him. And that's what praise and worship does. I think sometimes we've got the wrong thing of what praise and worship is. We think it's the rah-rah and we feel good and we've sung some songs and we jump in around. Yes, it's part of that. But when we come in understanding, we've come into a holy, almighty God, and we place our hearts in that place before Him, and we come with by invitation in Christ to Him, it's incredible. We could never, ever be in the presence of God if it wasn't for Jesus Christ. And He's given us this right to do that. And now we come with praise and prepare our hearts. So, as we prepared our hearts, here comes the promise. And the promise, the peace of God which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You all have a miracle every single day. The miracle is the peace of God. The world cannot give it to you. The biggest house, the best car, the best vacation will never give it to you. You'll have joy in that, but you will never find the peace of God. And our Father has given us the gift of His peace, which passes all understanding. To guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Church, you must fight for the peace of God. You must fight for the peace of God. God wants you to experience the incredible outworking of His peace, not running on your feelings, not running on your imaginations, not running on false pretensions and the strongholds being established, but the peace that comes into your heart and into your mind, that you're not numb, but you just know God is in control. And I want to just say, that is a place of victory. It's a victorious life in Christ when we can walk in the peace of God. I've said this before. The disciples, when Jesus died, were devastated. They were in such grief. I don't think they knew who they were. They were floundering. They didn't know what to do with their lives, even though the Lord had given them so much promise about His word that He's coming back. And the first words that the Lord spoke in that place where they were so anxious, He said, "Peace be with you." And I really believe it's a physical thing that takes place. It's an experiential thing. This is not willy-nilly stuff. This is a reality that we must all experience. When you've gone through that anxiety, you've given it to God, peace comes. Fear dissipates. And gone. Our God is in control. I'm in His hands. He's my Lord. He's my Savior. And may that be the miracle that you will experience on a daily basis. May you settle for nothing less. Don't try and work it out the world's way. Don't try and fulfill your life by the things that you understand. But go back to God's word and allow God's word to resonate in your heart and do it His way. And when you do it His way, the promise is there. You will experience the peace of God to guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. We're all weak, but God is strong. And this peace of God makes you strong, and you can be an overcomer. And Jesus says in Revelations, or the Spirit says in Revelations, to he who overcomes. And you know, folk, we got tough times ahead of us because we live in a broken world. We have a gospel to preach of much hope and salvation, but we've got some journeys to go through, and there are things that we are facing. And I don't know what faces you going through that door today. I don't know what your job's circumstances are, your family relationships. I don't know. But God gives us some promise. If we would do it His way, we can walk in the peace of God that passes all understanding. So my last point is, this has got to become a pattern in our lives. And we understand from the psychologist telling us it takes 27 days to become a pattern in our lives. And I want to trust you, this prayer of commitment, when these things arise to you, apply the scripture. So the best way to do this, commit it to memory, the scripture. Write it down. Put it before you. I love what they've done in their homes. They put the scriptures around their kitchen. So it's in your face all the time. Go and do that. Put the scripture before you on your mirror in the morning just to remind you, I must not be anxious for anything. I need to walk in the peace of God. And I want to say, church, let's live victorious lives. Your pastor is not your answer. I have to walk the same road as much as you have to. I have to deal and I have to live by the scripture as much as you have to. And we need to live in victory. Can I pray for you? Heavenly Father, we thank you that we are found in Christ. But yet, Lord, we need to overcome the things of the world and the temptations of the world and where the enemy will try and destroy us. But you've given us the way in Christ to be overcomers. And Lord, this portion of Scripture that enables us to overcome worry and fear, anxiety and stress, I pray for every single individual here today, Father, that your word is true, that they would walk according to your word, they would stand on the Scripture, and that the liberty and the freedom and of the peace of God would be their reality. That, Lord, that we change from today to live in the fullness of your power, the miracle working power of your peace. That, Lord, that these people here today will be known to be the victorious ones because they have overcome through you and your peace to be a reality. I pray, Father, give them wisdom to pray the right prayers, to have answered prayer, Father, as we commit these things to you. That, Lord, that we can be changed. Maybe we need to be changed first, but, Lord, change them and change their circumstances that they can walk in you and knowing that you are totally in control, that your sovereignty is over them, and that your will is being done in their lives as it is in heaven. So, Father, take your children, take them along this path of life, and may they be pleasing to you in all that they do. May they bring glory to you in all that they do. And may they not be subject to this world, but under your authority and under your kingdom. May your kingdom come. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven in their lives now. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. For some of you folk, that is a promise God has given to you today. And God is asking you to hold on to that. He will never forsake you. He will never leave you. God bless you all. Come and join us if you need to for some prayer. And for those, come and join us for a cup of tea and coffee together. We'd love to chat to you. God bless you all. Thank you, everyone.